Country Collection, Favorite Daughter, a compilation of immigration stories, Chinese radio segments, Google Translate entries, and dictionary remixes. That's between the covers at 11. And then at 11:30, Words and Pictures welcomes back its first guest after 15 years. Graphic novelist Craig Thompson talks about his new edition of Carnet de Voyage. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support. Keep informed. Get involved by going to kboo.fm. Click donate to become a member. It's 9 o'clock. This is KBOO Portland. Teresa Mitchell with Press Watch is next.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the NEA Spring Marketplace on Saturday, May 12th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Native American Youth Association in Portland. Join Native small business vendors and artisans from around the Pacific Northwest as they display their goods, including beadwork, jewelry, pottery, woodwork, and more. Again, that's the NEA Spring Marketplace on Saturday, May 12th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Native American Youth Association, 5135 Northeast Columbia Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Today, I want to talk about war, methane, and stuff. And I will be inviting your calls. I'll give you the number right now. It will be 503-231-8187. Thank you, all of you, for supporting the station through a rather difficult pledge drive. As you may have heard, we are being hacked, and I have some details on it. Hopefully I'll remember it correctly. There was apparently an exploit opened up in the Drupal system that we use in our internal servers, and it was set up, the hack was set up to take over the server so that it became part of a Bitcoin mining network. Bitcoin is mined by using massive computer power that most people can't afford, and so if you want to be a pirate, you can get your instant supercomputer by getting thousands of computers across the world to do your mining for you. And so it was taken over and set to that task. Whether the motivation was only greed, we don't know, because we don't know who did it. But we do know we're having a hell of a time with it. And when I mentioned this on Facebook, an ex-KBOO volunteer, I suppose you're never ex because we still love you, but anyway, who's on the East Coast, mentioned that their community radio station there was also hacked during their pledge drive. So I'm determined to make this backfire if it is ideologically motivated, and even if it isn't, it's quite serious because this is the 21st century and transmitting via our towers is only half of what we do. And if you can't get the website, a lot of people just aren't hearing us. And so I'm conscious right now that my audience is greatly reduced. There's no international audience at the moment, unless the website's back up. I haven't checked in the last few minutes, but we've had to take it down, and so thank you doubly for calling in. A lot of you who are already contributors understood that we are in a crisis because of this, and you kicked down some more money. And so normally I would say, well, how about sending us more money at kboo.fm? Well, you can't do that right now. So I would like to ask you, if you want to contribute, if you want to help us through this crisis, which may get more expensive, to contribute to us, you can send us a check. How old-fashioned is that? You want to take a little time, a little extra time, send it to our address, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Attention, membership. and we'll appreciate every penny we can get that way. We're not in pledge drive, but it did affect our fundraising capabilities. So we're just going to have to deal. We'll have to get the website back up. We are going to do that. And I would like to say that staff and volunteers, engineering, the web person, Jake and Tommy, everybody, have absolutely been Horatio at the bridge fighting off this army of bots. Don't let it go down. If you care about this, I've mentioned before during Pledge Drive, I was mentioning Acorn, but I guess not everyone gets that reference. Acorn was having a bit of internal turmoil. They actually they had a long-standing member embezzle some funds, and so they were teetering a bit when they were attacked by the right wing with false information, which got Congress to cut off the, something like 10-15% of their income that they are counting on. The Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, which is gone and dead, and it did a hell of a lot of good work, and it organized people of color. And I used to be an Acorn organizer way back in the 80s, and they had a little trouble then. But, you know, the attack was enough to knock them dead, and I remember, too, that people turned away from them so easily. It's just like there was just so little commitment from Congress. And in fact, Congress turned on Acorn and banned them from further funds on the basis of a completely false storyline about a pimp seeking aid for, you know, for slave services that these right-wingers made up. It was proven that it was made up. It was absolutely debunked, and it doesn't matter because people tend to remember the first thing they hear. The broader lesson there is if you don't stand up for the organizations that you have in the context of this constant pressure from U.S. corporate capitalism, imperialism, and whiteness, things will disappear. Don't let it happen. I care about what I'm doing here. I've put 30 years into community radio, and it was 30 years well spent. And we are finding our potential through the web, which, you know, as I was saying, unless things are suddenly fixed, you're only listening to me via terrestrial radio, which reminds me, we are in an earthquake zone. You really need a battery-powered radio in addition to the one in your car. You need a battery radio for your earthquake. You need extra batteries. You need siphons, jacks, water, batteries, canned soup, first aid. Do you have it? Because we're going to have a quake. We don't know when it is. Maybe it's today. Maybe it's 100 years from now. Most likely it's going to be in the next decade somewhere, sometime. And we also know that the FEMA hierarchy is already, I would say that they're rather militaristic in my examinations of the setting, the setup that the Portland quake community is doing. I mean, they're great. They're really looking to help. And they're also, well, we'll see what happens. But it's a very top-down. For example, if you volunteer, then you have to kind of swear your allegiance to the Portland quake preparations under the FEMA. So, again, you're listening to KBOO Portland, and you're lucky to be doing so because our web half has been hacked. To the news you're not supposed to know. If I had been privileged as a senator to speak at the confirmation hearing earlier this week of known torturer Gina Haspel, whose name is an anagram of Lashing Leap, my question would have been as follows. Gina, given the fact that you supervised the torture of persons targeted after the Cheney-Rumsfeld-Bush war stunts on September 11, 2001, and given that you have neither been prosecuted nor imprisoned for that degenerate act, and considering that you are instead being examined for an appointment to the American Secret Police with all honors, how can the United States government or any of its subsidiary and local governments maintain the least shred of moral authority? Answer me, Gina Haspel. Senator Teresa wants an answer. Well, I'm not a senator, and I didn't get to ask that. Things are happening, although the U.S. corporate military media complex takes pains to evade this fact. The rocket launches to and from the Golan Heights are taking place entirely within Syria. And Israel's territory has not been hit by any ordnance at all. The Golan Heights is the area illegally captured from Syria and occupied by Israel during the Six-Day War, territory which Israel annexed in 1981. This region includes the western two-thirds of the geological Golan Heights, as well as the Israeli-occupied part of Mount Hermon. That's a quote from Wikipedia, and I was a little confusing there because I put in a phrase I didn't mean to. Golan Heights is occupied, is the point I'm trying to make. CNN, for example, evades this by quoting Sarah Huckabee Sanders' statement, expressing concern of the Trump administration about Israeli citizens being targeted. So that's technically accurate, and of course it's quite deceptive. If those citizens were not illegally occupying Syria at the Golan Heights, they would not be in harm's way of those missiles. And we are facing a situation in which it seems sudden, but it's not. There's been a buildup. There's been John Bolton added to the Trump administration, and we are facing a situation in which Israel, as the United States extended garrison state, taking billions of dollars in military and cash aid every year, is promoting a war with Iran. And Pepe Escobar, writing in Asia Times, has this to say: Donald Trump's decision to leave the JCPOA, that's the acronym for the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, in other words, the nuke agreement with Iran. Donald Trump's decision to leave the JCPOA will not open the path to an Iranian nuclear weapon. Escobar writes, breaking the unwritten rules of global diplomacy, the Trump administration is now in violation of the Multilateral Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or in plain language, the Iran nuclear deal. Nuance, he writes, is notoriously absent in what can only be described as a unilateral hard exit. All suspended United States sanctions against Iran will be reinstated and harsh additional ones will be imposed. It does not matter that the International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, repeatedly confirmed Iran was complying with the JCPOA as verified by 11 detailed reports since January 2016. Even U.S. Secretary of State James Mattis vouched for the stringent verification mechanisms. Does that sound familiar? If you're an aging newsy like me, that last statement will remind you of the IAEA inspections in Iraq, whose threat and progress was used as justification by the Bush administration for war, and whose determination of no weapons of mass destruction was ignored. But returning to Escobar's work, oh, and speaking of aging, I'm going to have to sit down. Just a moment, please. I should play a theme from A Summer Place for a moment while I arrange my chair. All right, then. Facts, Pepe Escobar writes, appear to be irrelevant, though. The JCPOA is the Obama administration's only tangible foreign policy success, so for domestic political reasons, it had to be destroyed. President Donald Trump's opening address to the Iranian people during his White House speech also does not cut it. The overwhelming majority of Iranians support the JCPOA and counted on it to alleviate their economic plight. Moreover, Trump's regime change advisors support the exiled People's Mujahideen Organization, or the MEK, Mujahideen Khalq, which is despised beyond belief inside Iran. And I will depart from what Pepe wrote because they're despised for good reason, and they are, well, they're just freaking weird. They attacked the U.S. ambassador once. They're a handy pawn that the U.S. is using right now. They are Marxist Islamic guerrillas. They're very, very despotic, very hierarchical, just a strange little terrorist group, and they, of course, will be betrayed as soon as they are not convenient to the United States. But since the U.S. has absolutely no scruples, especially under Trump, although I'll have to admit they were handy under the Obama administration as well, the MEK is getting protection of all things. And Escobar is right. There is absolutely no chance that the MEK could ever get any sort of legitimacy inside Iran. not even if they were brought in under force of U.S. occupation. They are hated, 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 and for good reason. They're just stupid, basically. But returning to Escobar's writing, as a minor subplot, rational geopolitical actors are asking what sort of national security advisor would strategically advise his boss to blow up a multilateral United Nations-endorsed working nuclear deal. To cut to the chase, the U.S. decision to leave the JCPOA will not open the path to an Iranian nuclear weapon. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei, who has the last word, repeatedly stressed that the weapons are un-Islamic. It will not open the path, he writes, toward regime change. On the contrary, Iran hardliners, clerical and otherwise, are already capitalizing on their interpretation from the beginning that Washington cannot be trusted, and it will not open the path toward all-out war. It's no secret every Pentagon wargaming exercise against Iran turned out nightmarish. This included the fact that the Gulf Cooperation Council, or GCC, could be put out of the oil business within hours, with dire consequences for the global economy. And again, adding to what Escobar has to say there, those war games, they're kind of funny. They worked them this way and that. And as you know, war games, computer simulated these days, use all the capabilities known and projected on either side. And the way it works out is essentially go there with your aircraft carriers, or U.S. goes there with its aircraft carrier groups, and it's anti-missile phalanx machine guns, basically. And it's anti-missile missiles, and it's anti-missile chaff and radar, and they still get sunk by the basically the post-Exocet style missiles, which carry around 600,000 pounds, something like that, of high explosive. They rocket through the air, and they dive at the last minute, skim the waves, and sink ships. And the U.S. has the capacity to knock out 2-3 of those at a time, but of course the way to do it is to shoot them all at once, and the U.S. can't handle that, and they did that in the war games, and the U.S. lost. That's not something that the corporate press, CNN for example, CNN, which seems so friendly in contrast to Fox News, that's not something that CNN likes to announce. I would like to invite your calls, your comments. If you like, you can sphincter your lips, so, and you can sphincter your lips and put a little gravel into your voice, and you can talk like Donald Trump the whole time. Let's hear your Donald Trump imitations. Say, believe me a lot. And there you are. And Trump's easy to imitate, so you can do that. Or that's optional. The number is 503-231-8187. If you just feel like venting against Trump and this warmongering foolishness, this horror that has already had the rockets and bombs flying. I'll have more on that in a minute. I am reading from Pepe Escobar's writings in Asia Times. He also printed this in thesoccer.is, which I bring up to look at sort of at arm's length because of their pro-Russian and I should say pro-Russian militarism. Hopefully anyone who likes human beings would be pro-Russia to some extent. It's a very homophobic website. It's obnoxious, but there's such a paucity of information that I do use it. Anyway, getting back to Pepe Escobar writing about the spiking of the Iran deal, the stupidity coming out of the White House. Following Rouhani, others reacted quickly. The European Union's big three of Germany, France, and Britain made it clear that trade and investment ties with Iran would not be sacrificed. Those views were echoed by the EU's leading diplomat, Federica Mogherini, in a statement. Still, the key question, he writes, is how, in an interlinked global economy, European banks will be able to manage trade facilitation. Diplomats in Brussels told Asia Times that the EU is already devising a complex mechanism to protect European companies doing business in Iran. This is something that's been discussed between Iranian and the European Union diplomats. Yet, in the event that the EU capitulates, even with the support from Russia and China, the JCPOA will be effectively over with unpredictable consequences. These would include Iran's possible exit from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. On the crucial oil front, Gulf traders told Asia Times that even with the new U.S. sanctions and the possibility of crude being priced way beyond the current $70 a barrel, up to 1 million barrels a day of Iranian oil would simply disappear from global markets. If the EU, which imports 5% of its oil from Iran, buckles under too much pressure, these exports will be relocated to Asian customers such as China, India, Japan, and South Korea. The U.S. decision has also cast a shadow, he writes, over the upcoming U.S.-North Korea summit. The perception in Pyongyang, not to mention Beijing and Moscow, will be inevitable. The U.S. cannot be trusted. And he writes, for all its faults, the JCPOA remains a complex, painstakingly designed multilateral agreement, which took 12 years of diplomacy to broker and was sanctioned by the UN. There's more to the article by Pepe Escobar, and you can find it, as I was saying, at Asia Times. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. I'll put on my opinion hat now and say that you should absolutely oppose this sort of warmongering. It is dangerous. It gives power to people who are already powerful, and most certainly it gives power to the Trump administration. It gives legitimacy within the American context where we worship war. This warmongering gives, and Trump knows this, gives legitimacy to his fumbling, stumbling, degenerate presidency. Number to call, the comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. This business was obviously agreed upon at least a couple of weeks ago, as Israel has been moving tanks and soldiers into position, particularly on the border of Lebanon. So this is something that is promoting the U.S.-Israel war in the region, and I would remind you, of course, that the U.S. Is in, won't admit it, but has such a gigantic compound, laughingly called the embassy in Iraq. It is in Bahrain. It encircles Iran here and there. We have 2,000 troops. Our rulers have 2,000 troops in Syria. And there is a terrible possibility that this war will flare up. And Elliot is on the line. The number to call, 503-231-8187.
Yes. I don't want to make a statement about the immediate political issues you're discussing, but a response to the admittedly unfortunate hack attack on the station. You know, maybe sometimes, you know, things come around, you know, and bite you back. I did not.
Excuse me, KBOO hasn't hacked anyone.
Campaign. I did not make a donation to the Kickstarter campaign because I see a vibrant city of talented young people and maybe a backlog of over 1,000 young and now not so young adults who were not offered a chance to make a new show.
Are you kidding? This place is swimming with youth.
But because all of your peers proudly announced that they've been continuously on the air between 20 and 32 years or more, the people who do the evening news, who might have great ideas for a totally new perspective, are never given the chance to shoehorn their way in.
That's absolutely mendacious.
So
you're just making that up. I mean, there is no reason to say that. You have no facts to back it up. I'm here all the time. I see youth coming in, doing news. We have youth programs.
And the grid hasn't changed in 25 years, long before I was in Portland.
Well, there's a reason for that. It's successful.
Well, it works really well. You know, media, especially broadcast media, is inherently, obviously, a very finite resource. And
you have to wonder why we've doubled our listenership by using the web. That's exactly the opposite of the truth.
Air.
All right, I'm done just trying to bat away these lies that you're coming up with. You have to do. You have to step up your game if you're going to engage me. This is ridiculous. I'll go to the next caller. 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Love to talk to you. But if you're just going to try to drown me in lies, that's an old right-wing technique. I am so onto that. It's just not going to work. I could give you a list of other right-wing techniques that are constantly bubbling up because, right-wingers just can't stand it when they see defiance. And we got defiance. Number call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Proud to still be here and still giving the dissenting view against U.S. wars. Tuesday's decision. Now, this is from WSWS.org, which is a Trotskyist organization. Tuesday's decision by President Donald Trump to withdraw from the Iranian nuclear agreement has pushed the Middle East to the brink of a catastrophic regional conflict that could rapidly draw in the major powers. I love that sentence. They get right to the point. Often when I'm reading from WSWS, I have to skip this or that because they get so ideological. That's where they are, and that's what they like. But they do this well, and I encourage it. And you are discouraged by the corporate media from pulling up WSWS.org. When you start to type it in, it won't complete and won't autocomplete like it does for if you started to put in Newsweek or something like that. And when you do, it will bring up suggestions like WSWS.org bias. Or if you type in a search bar alternet.org, you'll get alternet.org fake news. They're constantly pressuring and piling on along with the Trump administration and along with the furious and determined hegemonists with the Democratic Party who really want to do imperialism their way. Google is doing this. Facebook is doing this. And there's a hidden part of it, the algorithms, which now direct information away, and it's very effective. It's cut revenues in half. This has been unsuccessful with KBOO. Even with the hack, we have raised, I think we raised something like $90,000 in our last, in our membership drive, and we have more money coming in, and there will be more money coming in. So we're cornered, we're fighting hard, and they're losing. So I'm counting on you to fight with us. Number to call 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And I believe someone's waiting to speak on the air. I'm hard on engineers. They tell me stuff and it goes in one ear and out the other. But Tila's waiting to speak. Hello, Tila.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Good to hear your show this morning. I just want to do a quick rebuttal to the previous caller. I actually have become a member of KBOO because I think it's wonderful that you have programs with the same programmers on the air for 22 years. Those people are proof that KBOO is a success story, that we're a consistent source of music, news, entertainment. And at the same time, I see an amazing diversity of young people when I go in and new shows coming on showcasing today's youth.
Our model isn't perfect.
Diversity. So thank you so much for having shows that have been on air for 30 years and shows that are giving new people a new chance to be part of the industry.
Well, thanks for your support. I appreciate you calling in, Tila. I know that you can point to the fact that I've been here all this time, and it's unfair in the sense of if you look at it in the model of, say, community, or let's see, what do you call it? Community cable television, for example, where you have a constant rota. But we've decided to do it a different way. And when the community demands that and supports a show being on the air, even if it's the same person, then we'll keep that. And that seems to be working for us.
Well, yeah. And why say, hey, you're doing a great job, now get out? So somebody else can do it. I love the programs you have. They're consistent and diverse, and thank you so much.
Thanks for the boost, Tila. I appreciate it.
Take care.
The number to call, 503-231-8187. And as I was saying, we're being hacked, and that is in the context of another community radio station also was hacked during its pledge drive. I'm suspicious of the motivations. Of course, you know, it could be done, in our case, it could be done entirely out of greed. But attacking left organizations can also be profitable. Why not? And so it's going on, and you're listening to the broadcast because, well, maybe I should use my electronic media myself and see if, in fact, the website is up. But last I checked, we had to take it down because we have so many bots to swat away. We are under attack. And there you are, the reliable and the dynamic core of KBOO. And that's what kept us on the air for 50 years. It's what we do, and it's also that dynamic core of people with heart. I could name so many, so I guess I won't even get started with that. But people who make things happen, people who figure out a way, people who keep working and keep working and keep working because we believe in getting the information out, getting the culture out, getting the community, giving the community its space and doing the right thing. But I'll go to the next caller. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Teresa. This is Annalisa, and I like to speak in defense of the person that said that young people don't have a chance. Well, I know when I was at cable that there are many young folk that come in, but some of them go to school and have to leave, or some are in school and have to leave, and therefore, but we have a youth collective, and so there are quite a few young people that work at cable, and all that's all I wanted to say. Thank you, Teresa, for 30 years of contributing to cable.
Well, thank you, Annalise. Appreciate that.
All right. Have a good day. Bye.
Yeah, I could describe people who have come here to learn how to do office work, people who have come here to learn, and I'm talking about teenagers, have come here to learn to do audio production, how to do engineering. And we are a 501c3 educational nonprofit organization. And we have been successful in getting reporters, for example, across the world. And our engineering staff is also hired out after they learn how to do it here. Number to call, 503-231-8187. I've been talking about the Iranian nuclear agreement, the JCPOA, which has been scotched by the increasingly fascistic U.S. president. And I am inviting you to call in and give your opinion about that. So I'll go to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. This is Maria.
Good morning, Maria.
Hi. I'm calling to also support you and appreciate you hung up on that, uninformed, ignorant caller.
Well, I don't like to directly trash the... that was an accident there. You can call back, Maria, if you like. I'm very sorry about that. I will trash the technique, and that's I've heard that so many times directed against dissenters, the barrage of lies. You have to swat, you know, a sentence that has six lies in it is impossible to answer. You have to take it apart, and then you have to wait. The other person suddenly has to become patient, but they're not going to be patient because they're actually simply attacking you and trying to put you off, trying to wrong foot you. It's not going to work. I'm going to be 60 years old this year. I've been doing this for half my life. That's old hat. Go ahead, try it again, conservatives. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Now I was turning to WSWS.org, article by Jordan Shilton about the spiking of the nuclear deal by the idiot president. Within minutes, they wrote, Israeli fighter jets violated Syrian airspace. So this was very much an announcement of escalation of the war versus Syria. The situation, he writes, escalated further late Wednesday as reports emerged of Israeli shelling of Syrian army positions from the Golan Heights. Rocket sirens sounded in the north and explosions were heard. According to the Golan Regional Council, several towns in the region were targeted by rocket fire. The Israeli military released a statement early Thursday, this morning, accusing Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps' Quds Force of firing 20 rockets at army border posts in the Golan Heights And as I was saying before, that's in Syria. It claimed several projectiles had been intercepted and reported no injuries. According to the Syrian state news Sana, Israeli warplanes began firing missiles at targets near Damascus early Thursday, soon after the alleged Iranian attack. As of this writing, the extent of those air raids and whether they caused any casualties remain unclear, and I can give an update to that. There are at least 7 Syrians dead from the Israeli attack. Tel Aviv justified Tuesday's airstrike with the unsubstantiated claim that Tehran was preparing to strike Israel in retaliation for a raid on the T4 airbase in April that claimed the lives of 9 Iranians. The absurdity of such allegations is obvious, they write, given that Iran would have nothing to gain from being the first to launch an attack, just as Trump was set to announce his decision on the Iran nuclear agreement. Everything points to the Israeli attack having been closely coordinated with the U.S. On Sunday, Israeli media began reporting unverified allegations of an Iranian plot to strike targets in Israel. Then on Tuesday, CNN reported that the Pentagon was concerned about alleged preparations for an Iranian strike. And departing from this, and speaking for myself, it's in situations like this that you can see just how pro-war and how imperialist CNN is. News site that I like to watch so much for impeachment porn, as it's jokingly called, immediately bares its fangs, and they get advance notice. They get cooperation from the U.S. media. I mean, you have to ask yourself, how did that camera crew get on the ship that shows you the rockets launching? They knew in advance, and they keep it from you, because CNN isn't just reporting, they're collaborating. And we'll go to the next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you. If it weren't for you and people that have been there 20 and 30 years, the young people would not have the background and the wisdom that you provide. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have trouble speaking, so that's all I want to say.
Well, thank you for making the effort, and I did understand every word. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
It does me good. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Continuing with the, as I was mentioning, the spiked, the directed around, and apparently the hated WSWS.org. In light of this, it's all but certain that the right-wing government of Benjamin Netanyahu, informed in advance of Trump's decision, planned the aggressive strike on the Syrian airbase to coincide with the U.S. announcement, with the aim of provoking a response from Iran that would serve as a pretext for a wider military assault. The airstrike was accompanied by a campaign to whip up a war fever in Israel. Among the reports of an imminent Iranian attack, the military revealed that it had deployed additional batteries for Israel's Iron Dome missile defense shield in the north, while the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv prohibited U.S. government employees from traveling to the Golan Heights without prior authorization. Speaking from Moscow, where he traveled to secure Russian assent to Israel's continued targeting of Iranians in Syria, Netanyahu preposterously compared the Tehran regime to the Nazis. It's not the first time, speaking for myself, it's not the first time he's done that. And that crowd in Israel, the Likudniks, basically, and their followers, seem to be in constant terror, which, in a way, I just totally understand. When there's been an attempt at genocide by a powerful state, it has generations of effects, after effects, negative after effects, and Netanyahu is a negative after effect. And the worst and most fearful thinking, the most distorted thinking, is encouraged, is locked in place by the billions from the U.S. in this, their cynical ploy to use the Israelis and their fear and the armament and all the cash, the billions and billions of dollars that is sent to Israel, as a garrison state for the U.S. And I have a couple of callers, and I understand that Maria was able to call back in. Thanks for your patience, Maria. What you got to say?
Hi. Well, I don't know what channel Trump, but I was just calling to thank you guys, you on the radio.
for hosting for, I believe, 10 years or more, programs in Spanish that sometimes repeat your news that you just say in Spanish for people that do not speak English or like me. Me is one of my native languages, which is Spanish. Those programs not only play music, they just discuss a variety of topics, not only about Hispanic culture, right? My husband learned Spanish, his first language is English, through these programs on KBOO. So if you're interested in other cultures and learning a different language, there you go, you tune in KBOO.
That's a good point.
Also, so do not feel discouraged, and I applaud you to just hang up on that gentleman because he wasn't open for dialogue. He just wanted to blurt out his anger.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a place for that, but you can't, yeah, it can't be a dialogue past a certain point. It's like once you get, dozen lies out, well.
Think about it. But on the other hand, you know, this is, we're in a democracy in theory, so that he has a right to say what he thinks.
Absolutely, he does. And yeah. I respect that, and of course, I will answer.
Also as a 50% Palestinian, I'm originally from Argentina, and all of my Dutch family were refugees from a little, from Palestine, right? They came even before, maybe on 1920s, from when the Ottoman Empire was in Palestine. And they were not much better than the current Zionist regime. And they were just, you know, peasants and small merchants in villages in Palestine, and they left. Some of my family came to Chile, some went to Peru, and I'm part of it. My grandparents, they came to Argentina, and they made their life there, and I'm a third generation. So, regarding the Iran thing and Netanyahu,
yes.
It's very sad, and also it shows on our side that, you know, we elected this president, Donald Trump, and what he's doing is just reckless. And I'm sure later on he might change his speech, and I just can't believe it that he's still our president. It's just very sad, very disturbing. But, you know, there is a big chunk of our population in the U.S. that, like you, stand up and speak up and march and
all a big, that. A majority of the vote, as a matter of fact, and we are being suppressed. Yeah. And this is about apartheid. And I would add that if you look at Israel, it's about apartheid. And the whole thing, the U.S. and the garrison state and Trumpism, is about whiteness. And this needs to be confronted from the ground up.
I have here in the States and in Argentina many Jew descendants, because I say I'm an Arab, but I just Arab roots, right? I'm an Argentinian, and now my second country is the United States, which I'm very proud to be. But I'm a descendant. All the Jews we talk to here and in other parts of Latin America are descendants. And my best friend is a Jew. And, you know, the Jews I admire, them, the ones that stand up and say, you know, Zionists, Netanyahu and your cronies are just doing something terrible to the collective Jews, which most of us do not agree with what you're doing in the Middle East. Not
yes, Jewishness is a part of my extended family as well, and I am appalled by Likudnik Israeli militarism and Israeli imperialism, and I see it as being driven by Americans and American Jews.
So it's like not all Jews, I think a big chunk, I don't know if the majority of Jews living abroad.
And this has to be addressed, and we can't let them say that it's anti-Semitic when what we oppose is a degeneracy of the better lights of Judaism.
So,
I'm going to go to another caller, and really thank you for calling in.
You take care. Bye.
Gracias para llamar. The number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I've been reading from the Trotskyist Marxist website, WSWS.org. Prior to that, Pepe Escobar's analysis, and that's the sort of thing that you get on your People's Community Radio station. Again, I want to tell you that if you're listening to me right now, you're lucky because the website has been going down continually from a bot attack. And this is not the only community radio station that was attacked during Pledge Drive. So I encourage you also to spread that news, to contribute if you can, even if you have to drop in or send a check or whatever. I mean, it definitely lifts our spirit every little bit. And that's how we've survived for half a century. Going to the next caller now. Oh, I'm sorry, I heard that wrong from the engineer. As I was saying, the engineers have a heck of a time with me sometimes. But I really appreciate their work. Thanks so much. Returning to WSWS.org, the airstrike was accompanied by a campaign to whip up a war fever in Israel. Among the reports of an imminent Iranian attack, well, I just read that sentence, okay, speaking from Moscow, where he traveled to secure Russian assent to, okay, I read that sentence, pardon me. I'll skip ahead as to where I actually need to be. Underscoring that Tuesday's airstrike is merely a foretaste of what is to come, an Israeli government defense official told Haaretz. The strikes on the Iranian missiles in Syria are a drop in the ocean. Even the army understands that this won't prevent missiles and other systems from arriving in the area, and we're seeing that happen. Trump's abandonment of the Iranian deal is only the latest in a long line of reckless actions by U.S. imperialism that have emboldened the unstable Zionist regime to provoke a military conflagration across the Middle East. And I'm going to skip that, but I want to tell you that you can find that information, again, at asiatimes.com. And that was Pepe Escobar, and WSWS.org. And don't count on the web to find that for you. You're going to have to spell it out into the search bar to get it, because you're being actively discouraged by the powers that be from getting the information that you need. I want to change topics now. We have just a few minutes left in the program. I want to tell you that it is becoming increasingly clear that fracking is releasing so much methane across the planet that it is greatly accelerating and exacerbating climate change. And this is something that doesn't need to be happening at all. Fracking, on top of its hideous destruction for thousands of generations of needed deep well water supplies, in addition to causing absurdly earthquakes on a continuous basis in Oklahoma, is also belching methane which is 20 times as destructive as carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And this just adds to the reasons to oppose fracking. It wrecks the areas permanently where it goes in. It makes people sick, it destroys water supplies, and also it releases a great deal of radioactivity. This is something that's not discussed much, but this is the news you're not supposed to know on KBOO Portland, so you need to know that radium and thorium is being released from the areas that are being fracked, hydraulically fractured and brought up. It's part of the sludge. It's captured partly in filters, which have been dumped all over the country. There are standards for dumping those filters, but they cost money, and so it'll come as no surprise to you to learn that fracking filters and their intense radioactivity can be found in dumps here and there, and it's something to watch out for if you're in such an area, or if you're in some random place where it's been tossed away. It's one of those insidious things in the all these years post-Reagan and the accelerated capture of regulatory organizations. You need your own Geiger counter to be safe in this nation. Once again, the number to call, 503-231-8187. Now, the problem we have in Oregon right now is that fracking is moving forward in Coos Bay. It hasn't physically actually started yet, but there is a company, Curzon Energy, which has hooked up to gas wells in coal beds in Coos County, and which is now gathering investors so that they can put in, I think the number is 58 wells they want to expand to, and this will be fracking. And it will do the things to the water supplies that fracking does. It will be destructive. And it's a little confusing in the corporate media to find out, if you want to find out what's going on. So I'm going to try to bring this together. There was an article in the Statesman Journal, bless them for writing it. It's a little out of date, and they point out that the Oregon House has passed a 10-year ban on hydraulic fracturing or fracking. There are currently no operational hydraulic fracturing wells, they write, in Oregon, but there is potential for coal bed methane fracking in the Willamette Valley. According to a recent U.S. Geological Survey report, the process releases natural gas from coal seams. Now, this article is only a year old. But, and I don't think that they were trying to be devious here. The information is simply grossly incomplete. And also, it's a little, not intentionally deceptive, but if you don't know how the legislative process works, then you hear that the Oregon House has passed a 10-year ban on hydraulic fracturing, and you think, oh, thank God, that's taken care of. No, it's not. Most definitely not. Here's the date you have to remember, May 22nd. Because the House passed the bill, but the Senate must also pass it. The Senate must also pass it, and it must be signed. And right now, Curzon Energy and the pipeline companies, whose name escaped me right at the moment, are trying to set up, they're trying to link together to have a massive pipeline go into the Columbia River, aggregation facilities, the whole deal. And this is moving forward, and they're lobbyists, you'd better believe, are there with their influence and their jobs that they can offer and their cash in hand, whatever it takes to get this huge British company, these very, very wealthy investors, to get their goodies and to destroy Oregon territory with fracking. This is moving forward. There is going to be a public hearing on May 22nd for the Oregon Senate. I am going to be out of the country. I'm not going to be there. I'm telling you, if you care about fracking, you need to pay attention to this. You need to, if you can't make it to the Senate hearing, you need to help someone get there. You need to spread the word. You need to help KBOO do its thing, even though we're under attack right now. This is the day for me that I'm really feeling Trumpism. You know, I'm lucky that I'm white and I can drive down the street and not feel Trumpism. I'm a very clockable transgender woman. It's easy to figure out that I'm transgender, and people comment it all the time. Cops certainly do. And I would be terrified if I were not white, but white in a car passes easily, and so I can roll down the street. I'm okay. But these forces are coming to bear on us. And part of this is fracking is coming to Oregon. Fracking is coming to Oregon. Fracking is coming to Oregon. I can't exaggerate the danger and the horror that is being brought to us, to our beautiful state, to Coos Bay. 58 wells, which will be fracked into coal beds. And returning to the article in the Statesman Journal, supporters of the ban, which, as I said, has not gone through, needs to be approved. May 22nd is the day. Supporters say the state does not have sufficient regulations in place to ensure the environment is protected from the practice, which involves injecting water, sand, and chemicals into rock under high pressure to fracture it and make crude oil, natural gas, and or geothermal energy more accessible. The Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries adopted rules for conventional wells in 2013, but they don't cover hydraulic fracturing. That's according to the bill's sponsor, Representative Ken Helm of Beaverton. And hurrah for Ken Helm of Beaverton. Time is 9:53. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Continuing with the article in the Statesman Journal. Statesman Journal. If this industry, this is a quote of Helm, if this industry comes to the state, we ought to be prepared with adequate rules to regulate the practice so it doesn't contaminate groundwater. It's not a vilification of an industry, he says. We're just pushing the pause button. And I think 10 years is a good pause button. Opponents say the wells use large amounts of fresh water, can contaminate groundwater, and potentially trigger earthquakes. Industry officials say the practice has been used for more than 60 years and is safe. And here's more from the lobbyist for the Western States Petroleum Association. And pardon me while I use my rage to put this in a silly voice for him. He says hydraulic fracturing has been demonstrated across multiple state and federal jurisdictions to be a safe and effective technology that can be used to increase the recovery of hydrocarbons and deliver significant benefits without adverse effects. This area is not only where the greatest concentration of population resides. I need to change my voice from the silly voice. Different person. Rhett Lawrence, conservation director for the Oregon chapter of Sierra Club, said this area is not only where the greatest concentration of population resides, it is also likely where most of the drinking water sources in our state originate. And they write, a company called Alta Mesa Holdings has already leased about 200,000 acres in eastern Oregon's Malheur County and plans to tap a natural gas field there, so it ain't just Coos Bay. Fracking's coming. There's a fight in the legislature. We, the people, the environment, have won the first round. 10-year ban has passed the House. It's not going to pass the Senate unless they are afraid of the consequences because, as I was saying, the big money is coming there. And this is how they act. The first reflex, the galvanic response of the Oregon Senate and House is to kiss lobbyist butt. And if you need an example of that, just look at the special sessions that were held just to give free money to Nike. Just to let them cruise and guarantee that Nike, exploiter of labor across the globe, and when I say exploiter, I mean deadly exploiter, working women to death across the globe for as little as humanly possible. They had a special session for Nike because money talks, and you'd best talk May 22nd at the Senate. As I was saying, I'm going to be out of the country, and I'm a little concerned. I'd like to try to help get this ball rolling. 350.org, 350PDX can give you more information about it. They had a day of action on May 1st. Calling out the PBA, over 60 people lined entrances to the convention center to greet attendees of the Portland Business Alliance's annual meeting. Signs and leaflets informed members that the Portland Business Alliance has endorsed the Pacific Connector Pipeline. That's that fracking-friendly pipeline that I was talking about. And Jordan Cove Fracked Gas Plant in Southern Oregon. They write, Deborah Romerin of Stop Fracked Gas PDX says, many business owners I've spoken to have learned of the PBA's position on Jordan Cove and the pipeline have told me they are appalled and shocked, end quote. The project proposed by the Canadian company Pembina was already denied twice by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Approval of the project is expected because the Trump administration has made it a priority and handpicked new FERC commissioners. This is a beautiful state. I live here because of the beauty, because of the people. I love Oregon. I've transplanted here in 1990, and I would never, never, never go back to Texas. We have this wonderful thing. We have KBOO, which is under attack right now by hackers. We have the forests of Coos Bay, which are under attack by a British company, Curzon Energy. Billionaires coming in, getting what they want. So the attack on KBOO is intended to give money to people who want to mine for Bitcoin. And they'll just extract it from us, overload our servers. They don't care. And who knows whether it's an ideological attack as well or where it's coming from. We don't know. I urge you to support KBOO Portland. We're going out to you via 90.7 FM. And when we get our website back out, we'll be going out to you and to all the ships at sea.
Holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film After the American Dream on Thursday, May 10th at 7 p.m. After the American Dream is an epic tale of survival undertaken by immigrants trying to enter the United States from Central America. This film follows the stories of four people, including a pregnant mother and an immigrant police chief. Again, that's a film screening of After the American Dream, Thursday, May 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland.
I can see the look on your face.